Take one of silence opportunity to prepare for the study of the word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your word that provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand what's going on here in the world and why and what your provision for it is, as well as recognizing how you're actually using the evil as a means of empowering the good, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And I say thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in our word-by-word study of Romans and middle of verse 29 of Romans 1, with the word translated full, we got to that far last time, and it denoted a change from the categorical listing. So there were three categories that were at the beginning of the verse. That's wickedness, greed, and evil. And then we have the full. The full is a transition from what we would refer to as a instrumental case to an accusative case. So it's a generic case initially with the three categories. And then he goes into the specifics on the evil one. And then it goes on for three more verses, which we'll be looking at here. And these are the characteristics of a person involved in evil. And remember, evil is what occurs when someone rejects truth. It's the lie. It's the manifestation of the lie. And in essence, we have the issue of divine good versus evil. So that's the real battleground in the angelic conflict. And Satan invented evil. God created the potential for it. Freedom creates opportunity. And as with the devil in the garden of God in eternity past, when he rebelled or ultimately rebelled, when he first sort of started thinking in his head, and we're going to see arrogance on the list here because that's one of the precursors for all the other things. And you have this conflict between God's viewpoint, which is divine good, is our Greek word agathos, and we have evil, which is our word kakos or kakia. So the change from the instrumental case to an accusative case. So it goes full. When you see the word full there, that's where the change occurs. And there's a whole list, and these all are basically you can create a parenthesis. So you got category, category, category. Then you have parenthesis, and this parenthesis is all of the specific or many of the specifics relating to evil. And if you read it in English, though, it looks like one big thing. That's all. So the point is it's actually emphasizing the concept of evil here. So our expanded translation so far is being fully influenced by all categories of anti-justice. We've noted how the system is against God, and God is justice, so it's against justice. And we're going to see one of the categories down here as enemy of God. By a state of evil, by an inordinate desire, that's greed. So here we see a propagation from, in fact, the three categories are actually, when you understand the wording, we mentioned it last time, are a movement from mental attitude to motivational to overt. So the evil part of this is primarily the overt function of the mental attitude. That is the first category. And by the function of evil, and then full. Full is the accusative plural from the adjective mestos, and is used as a genitive to list the functions of evil. So these are various facets of evil that Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, records. And these are in opposition to, of course, the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians 5. There's a similar list to this in Galatians, and there's one in 2 Timothy. But in Galatians, they're juxtapositioned with the fruit of the Spirit. So you have the whole list of the production of the old sin nature, which is evil. And then you have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. That gives you a serious indication of the opposition that exists. So mestos is an accusative indicating the specific examples of category 3 that are being listed, but the actual list is in the genitive. So that's the point here, and that's how we see it. And we noted how in the English this is not able to be revealed. It doesn't, in other words, the English language doesn't provide us with the case changes that the Greek provides to give us the specificity. So getting into the list here, the first word is envy. That's a descriptive genitive singular of photos. That's the beginning of the list of all evil deeds. Now, envy is what? It's a mental attitude sin. Now, it's kind of, some translations translate it jealousy. That, of course, jealousy and envy are similar, except in one exception. Envy actually is more destructive. Jealousy simply wants what someone else has and is willing to steal it or whatever to get it. Envy, on the other hand, not only wants what someone has, but if they can't get it, they want to destroy the other guy. So it's actually worse. Now, Cain's sin in the garden was envy. Because not only did he, since he couldn't have the approval of God, by doing what he did, he killed his brother. That's envy. Okay, so envy is actually an amped up version of jealousy, although the words are similar. These are all sins, but in this passage, the focus is, again, we saw that. Envy is a mental attitude sin and the function of evil that creates depravity. And of course, remember, depravity is orientation to, complete disorientation to God. Of course, that's what's happened here. Remember, the context of this whole passage is unbeliever reversionism. And you can get this kind of reversionism in believers, but generally not quite the same. Unbelievers, when they go into reversionism, can get really, really bad, is what can happen. And so depravity is completely separate from God. No connection whatsoever. And a believer really can become somewhat depraved, but they're not completely ever disconnected from God because they're in Christ. And their thinking may be completely separated from God, but they always have that. There's always a root there that is connected to the Lord, and that actually mitigates some of the things that can happen. So in our country today, what we see is more and more depravity because of unbeliever reversionism. Now, we're in a serious downtrend, and it's worldwide if you really look at it. But when the founders were here, there was an uptrend. Now, that doesn't mean everybody was a believer. They weren't. But there were many of them, and enough to run the show. In other words, they got they were in charge of the rule of the governmental rules for the most part. Today it's just the opposite, because of the decline in the voting. The problem in the country is not so much the politicians; they are simply representative of the voters. And Biden kind of has that right, except he's totally backwards as far as the truth goes. I mean, he's accusing people who support the MAGA as being evil, but he's got that flipped all around. And he's doing that because he is assuming that people have certain rights that aren't rights, like abortion and homosexuality. But see, those are against the Word of God. The MAGA position, if you want to view it that way, is establishment or constitutional, which goes back more towards God's Word. Not necessarily completely in every case, but much more than the other one. So the rights he's saying are being threatened by this so-called fascism, fake partial fascism, aren't rights at all. It's perversion and criminality that he's calling rights. It's interesting to think about that, and that's how you got to separate it. Because his going back to the voters is actually a correct viewpoint, because it is the voters who are going to change the politicians, we hope, and maybe the country will not crash into the ground. But who knows? God has it under control, and he's got he's whatever his mission is, it's going to be resolved one way or another. So, and he allows things to get way worse than we would ever think that they would get before he makes the turn, if he makes the turn. And we don't know if he's going to make a turn. You know, we don't have a clue. We know there's an end of an age that can come, but we don't have the parameters for it. So we can't say for certain what it would be. Although we do have the principles that Jesus did talk about in Matthew as in the days of Noah. And you can see that trend here in our country today, in the world actually, not just the country. So, and what was that? Well, believers were under assault by the politicians of the day. They were killing them. And had they gone much longer, there would have been no believers left. And of course, God couldn't let that happen because his mission had just started, really. I mean, see, the woman hadn't even really been identified yet. So, you know, we didn't even get into that sphere until way after the flood. So that was at the incipient, so the start of the human race. We're way downstream from that at this point, and there's no specific things that have to be fulfilled in a prophecy that had to be fulfilled then. So that's why it's different. So we have a non-deterministic time frame. So envy goes beyond jealousy in that it has a resentment and wants to remove the item from its possessor and prevent him from possessing what it envies. So it's worse than simple jealousy is the point. And of course the root here of envy is what? Covetousness. Now that takes you back into the Ten Commandments, that the transition that Paul talked about. Because the covetousness, the tenth commandment, is where mental attitude becomes motivated into overt. The previous ten commandments were all overt sins. See, Paul said, "Well, I didn't do that," and he didn't. Okay, but he did have covetousness. So he saw the root of it. Is the point, and that's why he comments on that, and it's an interesting discussion, because he I mean, remember, he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were supposedly perfect according to the law. He actually says that. Now, how can you be a perfect and be a murderer? Well, because you're doing things according to the book. It's not murder in that case. You see, the government's allowed to take people's lives if they're violating rules. And especially in that time frame, not so much today, because we don't have a state church kind of thing like they did. You know, that's why we have the separation, and that's a good thing. That's Christian. The Christianity involves that. So, but we're merging back into an evil version of the state church thing when you look at what's going on. The parameters for the state church are criminality and perversion, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, that stuff. The Green New Deal garbage. All that is all part, that's a religion. So it is a religious thing in the end. Then we go on from envy into murder. That's the next word. It's a descriptive genitive singular from phonos that means homicide. So remember, somebody being put to death is not necessarily murder. It has to be homicide. In this case, it's actually something that's planned. You know, like Cain and Abel, that was planned. Cain's murder of Abel was a planned activity. So it was murder or homicide. And that's what in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill is not thou shalt not kill. That's the wrong word. Bad translation. It's thou shalt not commit homicide. So it's really murder that's in view there. So people who use that commandment against the state, who has the authority to people to death in certain situations, God-given authority, are wrong. That's not a correct viewpoint. So murder is an overt sin in its relationship to evil. So it's something you do. It's one of the seven worst sins. It's the only overt sin that's in there in the list of seven worst sins. Murder is an unlawful pre-planned killing of another human being. Malice aforethought is expressed or implied in the motivation for murder. So in other words, it's something that people plan to do. It's not an accident. So that's why there's different categories. When someone's killed, in the jurisprudence of today, it's murder is pretty high bar. I mean, there's other categories where people die that are accidental and things like that. That you still might go to jail or something because of your failure to be careful or whatever. But at the same time, it's not the same as it wouldn't get the same penalty as a murder would. Which typically gets the longest penalties typically go towards that, especially if it's against a police officer or something, and that's as it should be. Strife is the next one, which is we see that in our list. Strife here is in the New American Standard, close to the end of the verse 29. The descriptive genitive singular of the words eros, That means strife, discord, contentiousness, and dissension. So this means a conflict. You know, we have this going on in the United States. The conflict that exists today is between establishment and non-establishment. And that is the rub here, which is kind of broken down to 50-50. And that's why, depending on who's running the show, you get a leadership that's taking you one direction or other, and it's rather divergent. I mean, it's pretty big, the difference. In fact, the rulings, for example, of the Supreme Court are a product of President Trump's presidency because of the number of people he was able to appoint there. And that's why the Democrats are alleging that they're going to get rid of the filibuster and then appoint a whole bunch of other justices there to water that down. And they may get that if they win in this year. We'll see if they win the Senate. It could happen. That would be interesting to see if that happens. Let's hope that doesn't happen, but whatever. I mean, God has it under control, and he's got a plan, and we just don't know the details of how it's going to play out. When translating, because of the genitive case, we are allowed to repeat and insert the word full. So each one of these words can be emphasize, full of each situation, such as full of envy, full of murder, full of dissension, full of strife, discord, deceit, etc. So because of the way the case change allows you the freedom to insert the full, because the beginning of the phrensis, remember, you have evil, then you have full of friend, and then list, and then end friend. So when you have that kind of a situation, you can connect the two. The full applies to everyone. So these are manifestations of the function of evil, is what this is. And remember, evil, again, is the consequence of rejecting truth. Because when you reject truth, the only what's left for you to believe is evil, by definition. Because God is truth. And the whole thing starts back in 20:27-28 with, they rejected God, and the word there that was used for their awareness was epinosis. And that's a powerful word, because that tells you that they understood the decision they were making was actually rejecting God. Now, we don't understand that completely, because we aren't in people's heads. But that's what the word tells us. So we got to go with what the word tells us. They could have used gnosis there, which would have made it a little weaker. But they didn't. The Holy Spirit used epinosis, and that's the same word that's used to describe conviction regarding salvation or doctrine or whatever. That's Spirit-taught information, which means there's no ambiguity. And that's the point that we're highlighting here, is folks were in that situation, and they actively rejected the truth of God, knowing it was the truth. So that leaves them with no place to go but the devil, which that's the only alternative. He invented everything else. So we're allowed to insert the word fool. And then the descriptive genitive singular from dolos means deceit. That's the next word. Cunning or treachery. And this is an attitude of a troublemaker. So in essence, when you, this whole thing leads to a situation where discord is being created. And discord is one of the seven worst sins. So who creates trouble? Well, people who promote discord. And if that isn't what we've got in our country today, ain't nothing you can say. It's what we've got. Big time. Even on both sides, if you want to talk about it, think about it. You know, the way that some of them act. You have, the thing is, you can be establishment oriented and be overbearing in that. You got to let people be, people have to have freedom. And they have a right to be wrong. So up to a point, of course, you can't let them destroy the whole country, which is what they're proceeding to do. But so maybe there's a little bit too much freedom in that case. But nonetheless, you have folks that take the position of being more locked in than they should. And they can be troublemakers, too. So you've got these two groups of troublemakers. Well, when you think about, like, if you go back and look at what was going on with the war between the states, that same kind of dynamic occurred over the issue of slavery, well, states' rights / slavery, and the issue was the people who wanted to completely free the states versus the ones that wanted them completely slave, and they were at loggerheads, and it was a big conflict. So that's what created the tension and ultimately the hostilities. So we're approaching that now in our country. We'll see whether it gets there or not. I mean, I mentioned this last time or the time before, the one thing missing from this is money. At least pretty much, because the South was invested in this system of slavery for them to work. Their plantations didn't work without it. Now, all they had to do was wait 20 years and that wouldn't have been a problem. But they didn't wait 20 years. The whole thing would have resolved itself with technology, machines. Because was the guys that were doing the cotton gin, they were all in play at that juncture, right in that time frame. So a lot of the hand labor that was involved with the South was getting to be removed because of the machinery, and that's eventually what happened. You know, so again, the battle didn't have to happen. They could have freed those people. Many of them would have stayed and worked anyway. So the war was unnecessary. It was one of the worst wars we've ever had. That it really was unnecessary. It was fought because the factions, the polar factions, got together, and they were rabble rousing the politicians on both sides, and it was what happened. So that same thing could happen now. Let's hope it doesn't. We don't want that. That's a really bad thing if that happens, but it could happen. I mean, we don't know. If God lets it happen, it happens. We'll see. So a troublemaker is always cunning, deceitful, and treacherous. This word means a treacherous person. A cunning person is generally a deceitful, arrogant person. A deceitful person is a smart person who deliberately works to deceive. See, just because they're a troublemaker doesn't mean that they have lack of intelligence. They're just using their intelligence for the wrong purposes. There's a lot of that. A lot of criminals are very smart. But they've just decided that they're going to work the criminal side of things rather than the right side of things. If they had put their effort towards working the right side, they'd be probably just as profitable or more. And they wouldn't end up in jail, maybe. Let's hope that they do. But nonetheless, these people aren't dumb. They're very smart. Well, you look at the ultimate, who's the ultimate criminal? The devil. Yeah, he's characterized as the smartest creature God ever made. That's pretty interesting. So he took his intelligence and put it to work against God as opposed to for God. And he was in a position of really to be able to magnify his malfeasance as well, because he was the communicator between the throne room of God and the angels. So he was the media. Well, that's kind of what we've got now, right? The media is fomenting a lot of this. And it's worse because of the media and the megaphone they have. You know, that's part that makes it worse. And that's where Satan was. So we have pretty much a correlation to the angelic fall with what's going on. And I think that's as God would have it. Because remember, we're here to testify against Satan in the angelic conflict. Which means we're to stand for truth under this huge assault. If you look at all these words, this is the assault that's coming at believers in Jesus. And our job is to stand in that evil day when we're being assaulted by this. This is the stuff that's coming at us as believers. And so that's where it's going to go. I mean, it pretty much has to. And it's not something we would want to have happen, but almost inevitable. Because if the pressure is going to ramp up against believers, which is basically the subtext we got going on here, then, I mean, that's who's being accused of having. Our position is constitutional, which means it's related to divine establishment. Okay? And so we're in opposition to the opposite side. So that's where the battle is. And so when people are pointing the finger, they're actually pointing it at believers, especially believers who believe the Bible. I mean, word for word, that literal grammatical. That's us. All right? Not all believers do that. But because you can believe in Jesus and not take the Bible literally and be saved if you believe in Jesus. And if you really believe what the Bible says about Jesus, you're saved. After that, you can just go on in neutral and not pay attention to what the Bible has to say. Now, you're going to be a loser to evaluation, but nonetheless, you're saved. Malice is next. A descriptive genitive singular of cactothea. It means malice or malignity. And when you pull them together, it comes to mean evil craftiness. So malice is, and it also has to do again with your forethought. malice is people planning to be this way. So it goes, that concept comes in. Next is gossips. Now gossips is relating to what you say. And that's, what's that? That's media related. Communications. And the next couple words relate to this. And actually it moves from gossips, and the next verse 30 starts with slanderers. So gossips is the last word in verse 29. Probably could have been pulled into 30, but whatever. Because that's where the context shifts after the first word in verse 30. Doesn't matter. It's still the next word. So gossips is a change to the accusative plural. So all these other words were singular, and now that one is plural. So you've got a party, a group of people involved with this. And so this is basically talking about the media. A change to the accusative plural that indicates a new category or grouping that has to do with the fact that up to this point, everything you have points to a troublemaker described in terms of what a troublemaker does. His characteristics, his essence, and the things that cause him to be a troublemaker. So you've got individuals who go out and create problems. Well, that's kind of what we've got, right, in our country. I mean, if you looked at Antifa and the BLM people, well, that's what they're doing. But who's fomenting this? Politicians and media people that have that viewpoint. So they're using their bully pulpit to make it worse, is right. So this is what a troublemaker does. We change it to an accusative plural indicating a new category or grouping is the Greek noun phaseresis. Again, accusative of a general reference with the present active infinitive of poeo, translated do or a doer from verse 28. So remember, if we go back to verse 28, we see these people are doing this. So the poeo has to do it. Again, meant the doing comes as a result of negative volition. Remember, the overall aegis is reversionism. You said no to God at God consciousness and or no to God at gospel hearing, not with full knowledge. And then that leaves you with what? The only alternative to that is the devil. And so these people are characterized by the devil. I mean, basically, I mean, many of them may be certainly demon influenced, some demon possessed. So you got the whole range of folks, because again, as unbelievers, they can be demon possessed. Well, this is not really the subject of the infinitive. It indicates the one who is producing the action of the infinitive, that is, the activity, and therefore is equivalent to the subject of the infinitive. So these people are doers of this. It becomes their modus operandi, is what it amounts to. So we translate, they have become whisperers. That's the next word, which is in verse 30. Slanderers. The word is actually, in fact, if you look over here in the Nestle Aland, it translates it whisperers. See right there. It's not a real common word these days, but it's kind of like speaking behind someone's back, revealing things that aren't to be revealed, or things. Remember, love covers a multitude of failures. That's the principle from God. So these are unloving people. We're going to see that coming up. Love is not part of their MO. But this is an artifact of that. So we translate they become whisperers because the meaning of the word is to whisper. A whisperer is a rumor monger, a person who spreads confidential derogatory information privately in order to attack a reputation. Well, we see lots of that going on right now. I mean, more than normal, I would think. I mean, I think so. I don't know. I mean, I've only been around here for a few years, but it seems more than normal that we have that. The animosity that has been created is so great that people are willing to do things that wouldn't normally be done. And this would be one of those categories. That's kind of what's been happening to our president, our former president. You know, the whisperers are going after him big time. And the whisperers are in government. So we'll see how this plays out, but they're attacking their reputation. Well, why would they do that? To denigrate them. Well, who's the inventor of this thing? The devil. Who is he? Whose reputation was he attacking? Jesus. God. So remember, this is a copy. This is a carbon copy of what happened with the Angelic Rebellion, and that's what's happening here right now in our country. So I'm not saying, I mean, obviously, the people in our country, their object targets of this aren't is like Jesus and God, but they're may more innocent than you might think, probably. At least it seems the case so far. We'll see whether that's true. I don't know. So an expanded translation, being fully influenced by all categories of anti-justice, by a state of evil, by inordinate desire, by function, as your greed, by function of evil. So we go from a state to a greed to activity. Full of envy, full of murder, full of dissension, strife or discord, full of treachery, full of evil craftiness, they have become whisperers. So it's interesting, you go through all these things and you end up being what? Somebody who shares secrets of other people for the purpose of destroying them. It's kind of interesting. So that's a media function or some kind of a communication function. In verse 30, we continue with the description of the implacability and malcontentment of those who are maladjusted to God's justice. So remember, the whole predicate here is these people said no to God at God consciousness and gospel hearing. And then he gives them over to this whole thing, which is the only alternative. If you reject the truth again, you accept the lie as truth. And then that becomes your truth, which is, of course, not truth because it's against God. God is truth. So that you're in a bad situation when this happens. Verse 30, slanderers, translated from the Greek word kataloles. The King James translates this word backbiters. That's an interesting translation. I think that catches it. Because it basically you're going behind someone's back to slander them. Whenever you have a reversionist, whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, you find an implacable person. So again, the reversionist unbeliever is worse than a reversionist believer because of their position in Christ or lack thereof. But they both end up with attitudes that are similar. You'll find that an implacability is the standard consequence of the frantic search for happiness. People go into the arrogant skills, and so they're pursuing happiness the wrong way. They can't ever get happy because they're doing it the wrong way. Remember, what is the basis of happiness? Listen to my Father's, those who listen to my Father's word and keep it. It's in Luke. Happy is the one who listens to my Father's word and keep it. Well, what's the basis or the predicate for that? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't keep the word unless you believe. So they rejected it, so there's nothing they're doing that's correct. It's impossible. So they're in an impossible circumstance. They're pursuing happiness via the means of unhappiness. And so they're never, ever going to be happy. It's impossible. Because they're going the wrong way. So you find implacable person. You find an implacable person whether a believer or unbeliever. Implacability is a description of a backbiter, the accusative plural of a reference from the compound adjective katalatos. So kata is again. This is a compound word. So you've got two words here. Kata means down or against, and laleo is to speak. So they're basically speaking against. That means to speak against, so it comes to mean malign, detract, speak hostility, spread gossip, false reports, and slander. That's the end game here. And of course, that's the translation in the New American Standard, slanderers, right there. First word in verse 30. And over here in the New American, in Nestle Allen, it's speaking against, which is, that's the exact compound translation, what word for word, speak against. Slander is a bit, but basically slander is what it is. Next is haters of God. Again, it's a compound adjective, theostygos. Theos is God, and stego is to hate. So these are God haters. In other words, once you start attacking authority, and any authority constitutes by God, that would specifically in the spiritual realm, the pastor, teacher, outside the spiritual realm establishment. So those are the two categories of people you'd be going. You'd become a God hater. Remember, Paul talks about that. In fact, I think it's in Romans when we get in there, is that all authority is permitted by God. Now, does that mean that God is necessarily behind and supporting the policies of authority? No. But he permits it. So he had to sign off on it. I mean, when someone becomes the president of the United States, I don't care what side, ultimately, God had to sign off on that. So he had a reason. Now, that reason may not be all that beneficial for the country, as is obviously the case in this situation, what we have now. Because the guy that's in there is destroying the country. Well, maybe his people are, anyway. His surrogates. We don't know how rational Joe even is, but it doesn't matter. The point is that he is in the position, and so he gets to set the policies, or his people do. And his policies are detrimental to the national entity of the United States as a free country. But behind that whole thing, as a believer, you've got to realize God let it happen. He allowed it. So there's a reason. Remember, he's allowing Satan to run the show on his planet. And Satan is the ultimate enemy of God and God-hater. That's who he is. But God has found a way to turn that curse into a blessing. See, you don't ever forget that. So when we're up against people that are like this, and it's going to happen because it's part of the job. I mean, we are to stand our ground in the midst of this. And we're not to go on the attack. Remember, we only have a couple direct offensive tools. That would be prayer and the gospel, primarily. Some certain cases, doctrine could be in a certain case in real close quarters. But generally not. Because doctrine's establishing your position. You know, that's established. You're in a position related to the Word of God. So people already know where you're at. So what's left? Well, prayer, obviously, because that's an offensive weapon that brings God's power into the environment through the angelic conflict, according to the protocols. And then the gospel, of course, is always an offensive weapon. Because people can be changed. If the gospel is presented properly and the Holy Spirit's working in them, they can have a change of thinking about things. So that's an offensive weapon. Beyond that, it's not. It's not our job. So that's why we're not to get involved with the overt stuff that happens in the community. Other than to vote. That's our job. We should do that. We'd be crazy if we didn't. But at the same time, that's the limit of the scope of our responsibility. We're not to become people who break the law. See, the anger of man, this is a James passage, the anger of man does not perform the righteousness of God. Okay? The wrath of man is what it says in the King James. So we're not to go there. We do not do anything against the law. Now, if they create a law that's not legal, then you can break it, but you're still under the authority. I mean, Jesus didn't keep the Sabbath the way that the Pharisees and the people in charge of Judea had made the rules, because he told them that was not how you do it. But they were still in charge. And it still caused them no end of grief. That he refused to comply with their rules. He refused to comply with their rules. So he broke their rule, their law. That was not the Mosaic law, but it was their oral law, their traditions. He spoke against that. But eventually they caught up with him, and what did they do? Well, they took him captive. And of course that was God's will too, of course. And if God allows that to happen to us, that's his business. Do what he wants, you know. We have to recognize that God's in charge here. And let things be what they are. But again, you shouldn't be actively pursuing opportunities or chasing down opportunities to offend people. That's not smart. But when you have to, you do what you got to do. You know, the truth is the truth. You stand for the truth irrespective of the consequences. So attacking the police is the same exact concept as attacking anything that's designated for protection and freedom. So remember, so you wouldn't go after the law enforcement. That's really, really stupid. And we got people in our group, our side, more or less, that did that kind of thing. Kind of, I don't know. I think it's a lot of misinformation on it. But nonetheless, they're being accused of it, at least. And convicted, even. In certain cases. Crime is attacking against freedom and privacy. In all cases. Doesn't matter what kind of crime it is. So we're never to become criminals. Okay? Never. That's not our job. Rejecting divine authority is hatred for divine authority. See, these people are in charge for a reason. Now, that reason may not be advantageous to our country. Okay, fine. But that's okay, too, because remember, look what the Bible says about this country. It ain't there. United States of America is not in the Bible. I mean, specifically. Now, the principles that we have are in the Bible. So we can correlate the principles and tie it to the nation's founding, at least, and say this nation was founded on the basis of God's word. And it was. But today it's drifted way off that. And every nation that's ever come along has done the exact same thing that's happened here. They started out well. They had positive listen to the word of God. They received incredible prosperity beyond anything they could imagine. And then that prosperity was misused for evil. Because they forgot where it came from. And that's precisely where we're at. We think we have this stuff because we're somebody. Well, we're not. God has graced us out because of the momentum associated with our forebearers. And some individuals still are positive to the Word of God, so there's certain prosperity coming that way. But overall, we're living on momentum from previous generations that's built up over hundreds of years. And that same thing happened in other countries around the world. I mean, the biblical ones are Israel and Judah. Same situation. They left off the truth and chased after the lie. And they eventually were destroyed and taken off. In fact, Israel remains out of position right now because of that. So the church is here, and we're in a time of no prophecy. But you can look at the trends and see how things are going. Our next word is insolent. It's an accusative plural of hybritus that refers to a violent, insolent person. In other words, rejection of God's authority leads to rejection of human authority. And insolence is a concept here under the connotation of rejection of human authority. So this is, people remember, insolence comes from an attitude of arrogance, which is coming up. So you think you're not under to be obedient to the authority. And that's not true. Unless you know flat out that the authority is violating the truth. In that case, then you can take your chances and you'll find that who knows which way it's going to go. You can become a martyr. That works okay. I mean, there's nothing new there. It's happened a lot. Insolence connotes not only a lack of respect for authority, but the basis of authority as well. That is haughtiness. The basis for rejection of authority as well. That is haughtiness, arrogance, and contentiousness that creates an overbearing, disrespectful attitude that leads to our next word, arrogant. So the source of that is arrogance. Or hyperphanos. So hyper, of course, means over, or to think more than you should about yourself. That means those who position themselves as in a superior to those who are actually in authority. See, that's a problem with arrogance. Arrogance assumes a position that it doesn't own. That's the devil's first sin. Pride, remember? It goes back in Isaiah, tells us about this. That you until evil was found in you, and you thought you were more than you were. And what happened? Well, we don't know what happened exactly next, but ultimately the consequences of that were a rebellion against God. He thought that he could rebel against God and win. Well, yeah, okay. That's certainly misinformed. It's shocking to me that he was that misinformed, but maybe he didn't care. I don't know. The motivations, I don't understand. But the fact is he became arrogant, which means because he thought he could do what he could not do, and he could become what he could not become. And he's finding out that that's so. Now, God's given him a lot of space. And there's obviously reasons for that, the behind the scenes that we don't necessarily understand. But nonetheless, he's been given a lot of space because he's had thousands of years to work this out. Maybe, who knows, could be more than that. We don't know how long he fomented his rebellion in the angels. Next is boasters, from the word alazon. That means boastful, presumptuous, the one who makes more of himself than really justified. So that goes connected with arrogance. He ascribes to himself more and better things than he actually has. One who promises what he cannot fulfill. You know, that's pretty consistent. In fact, that's a way to look at, when you look at what people say, can they do what they say? That's a question. And that tells you where they're at. Because if they can't fulfill what they say, remember they have promises that they make. And the question is, can they actually execute? You can look at a lot of things in our country or in the world today that are being promoted as being efficacious solutions to problems. I say the problems don't exist. So it's a waste of time to even bother with it, but let's assume that they did exist. Do the solutions proposed work? Well, I think not. I think not. You can look at what's happening in California right now and see that. When they got a ration power between 4 and 9 p.m. Why? Well, because they're green, supposedly. Yeah. And they're importing 30% of their power. And the lights are still going out. Okay, you got a serious problem here. You're trying to use technology that doesn't quite get it done because you believe that the Earth is in a world of hurt, which it's not. So their whole assumptions are wrong. Can they fulfill what they're saying? No. And who's following them? People lock, stock, and barrel. Half the states in this country. You know, we're all going to be... We can't buy anything but an electric car in 2030. 12 years from now. 13 years from now. You know, in half the country, the only cars, only vehicles you can buy are electric. Well, they don't even have the power grid to support that. Not happening. Not in that time frame, certainly. Now, if you can get an electric car that works, wow, they do work. The question is, how do you get a juice? I mean, it takes, 150,000 watts. It's equal to a house. I've been evaluating this just for interesting. They say that a house that's going to support an electric car needs to have a 400 amp service entrance. 400 amp. You know about how big my service entrance is? 100. It means I got to have a whole new electrical service. Four times bigger. Are you kidding me? I mean, the average service entrance to a house is 200 these days. I have 100. Okay? So most people have 100 or 200. Very few people have a 4. So all the service entrances, that means all the connections to the power lines outside the house are going to have to be redone. That's infrastructure to support electric car. You're going to do that in 10 years? I don't think so. So they're making promises they can't keep. See? That's the problem. They're liars. So that tells you everything you need to know about them. Next is Conjurers of Evil. From Ephretus Kakos. Evil, that's our word, Kakos again. Conjurers is Ephretus. Is a descriptive genitive plural meaning evil things. And the accusative plural, Ephreta, means to contrive, to fabricate, to invent, to conjure. So Conjurers of Evil. I like the concept of conjurers because conjurers... one of the definitions to conjure has to do with the devil. People who try to talk to the dead are known as conjurers. So the way they do that is through demons. So that's what this is. You're in a close affinity with the devil when you're doing conjuring, and that's what the word here in our is in the American standards, inventors of evil. But I like the word conjurer. That just happens to be the one I like. Let's see what's in Nestle Island. Inventors of evil. Yeah. All right. So that's cool. But conjurer is pretty good to me, in my opinion. So I'm going to use conjurers because I think that these people are in accord with the devil in their fabrication. So they're completely and totally deceived. The presence of evil in the soul of a reversionist means implacability, and a soul with implacability always has to dream up evil and to project it into their environment. So they're never happy. See, since they're never happy, they got to create some new thing, some new idea that becomes their idea of what's going to be happy. You know, and I got some lists of this, ideas of this in this next statement. Good examples of this conjured insanity are global climate change. It ain't happening. I mean, if it is, what are you going to do about it? You can't fix it. It's God's law. God's doing it. He's permitting it. It's coming from the sun, not from anyplace else. Critical race theory. If you've studied that, that's another one. That your whole economic status is a product of your race. That's a bunch of crap. It completely rejects history. I mean, there's been times in history when every race has had their particular time in power. Okay, in ascendancy. This has taken lately the last 200 years and trying to foist this concept on what's really the reason the people that are in power from the real source here is Christianity. Positive believers are people in power, or have been, until recently at least. And then transgenderism, that's the ultimate. When your thinking can contradict your biology, that is pure conjuring. Not happening. And yet this is one of their planks in their lie, in their conjured lie. So whatever, you know, it's just, this shows you how far off the track they are. Next is disobedience to parents. This is where it starts. It's a dative plural of reference to gunes, parents, and with the accusative plural aphithesis, that means disobedient. So parents are responsible. This is where the problem starts, in the home. Parents are responsible for divine institution number three. That would be the family. And that is basic organization in life where people learn discipline, respect for authority, as well as orientation to life in general. See, the problem we have in our country, and for that matter the world, is the destruction of the family. Now, the precursor to the destruction of family was the destruction of marriage. All right? So when marriage is destroyed, the family is destroyed. And then downstream is what? The nation. Well, that's inevitable. That's on the chopping block when that happens. So you have, first, remember, volition or freedom, marriage, family, nationalism. That's divine establishment. And when people have the wrong viewpoint of life, they're inevitably not going to work in a marriage. And they're actually going to try to create things that they call marriage that aren't. We got that going on. They're working on that in the Senate right now. Because the court, they think, is going to blow away that next. The gay marriage thing. Homosexual marriage, I think they're going to blow that away. Because they blew away abortion. And abortion was blown away. The same principle that blows away Roe v. Wade blows away the next thing. So the Senate's scared to death. Well, no. The Congress. The leftist Congress is scared to death they're going to go after that. And they might. Who knows? But I guess there's some cases coming up that way. So now, right now, they've got the leadership in the, well, they almost have a majority in the Senate. So for the next little bit, in a couple of months, they might be able to get it done. If they can, they can make it a law. All right? So that would take it out of the hands of the court. So whatever, we'll see what happens. How that happens. But see, the viewpoint is completely whacked out because they're destroying the family. Destroying marriage, and the family, of course, is downstream from that, so it ain't playing. Rejection of authority of parents results in disorientation to life. Those who reject the authority of their parents inevitably become handicapped in their capacity for life. And if that isn't what we've got going on here, that's it. That describes it exactly. You know, as many of the parents these days are whacked out themselves because of their products of the 60s. But nonetheless, they have no capacity for life. Now, why is that? No rights, no understanding of what is right and wrong. Not what you think is right, what the Word of God says. That's what's truly right. It's the divine order that matters. I mean, if you go back and look at the Constitution and the Declaration, they're always referencing what God did. He's the one that established these things. And on the basis of that, we make these proposals about how this country ought to run. But it all is rooted in truth. It's not rooted in a lie. It ain't rooted in global warming. It ain't rooted in abortion. It ain't rooted in homosexual rights. It's not rooted in transgenderism. Uh-uh. That ain't to be found. That's all completely lie. It wouldn't play in that case. So their assumptions are that that's the case. So our expanded translation of verse 30. Backbiters, God-haters, insolent, arrogant boasters, conjurers of evil, disobedient to parents. That's a pretty good list. Now, verse 31 keeps on going. Next verse starts with, without understanding. If we move this down, you got a couple more words before they... You know, interesting, verse 32 wraps it right around on itself. We aren't going to get there today, but it brings us into the fact that they know. I believe that word know there is epinosis again. So they're fully cognizant that what they're doing is wrong, even though they have all this. So it looks like we ran out of time, so I can pick up on 31 next class. So we'll just do that. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word and the blessing it is for us to understand how it works and how it actually overcomes the zeitgeist of the age. And as the Zeitgeist of the age goes incredibly evil, we can stand in the peace and tranquility of the truth of your word, recognizing that in the end, nothing can be done against the truth, only for the truth. And the truth is your word. So irrespective of the assumed power these folks have, in the end they will be destroyed because you cannot permit the lie to be prospered. Help us to recognize that and stand our ground without regard to the consequences. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen.